Good morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles, please open up with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke. Gospel of Luke in chapter 5, beginning right in the first verse. It says, "It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." So here you have probably late morning, mid-morning maybe. Fishermen fish at night. Fish are less scared of the daylight. There's less predators for them to worry about. So they school up and swim around happily. So the fishermen go out at night to net fish for them. Now, that's all done. They failed miserably all night, because we all know how fishing can be. And they're on the shore now, out of the boats, washing the nets, taking out the seaweed, mending whatever is torn. You know, that's what's going on there. And Jesus comes there by the shore, and he gets into one of the boats. And it was Simon's, which is, as we know him as Peter. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So he stands up on the boat or sits down in the boat and begins to teach and instruct the people the kingdom of God. Right? Now, when he left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing." And the implication being, you know, we're the professionals. You know, I mean, if we can't catch fish, nobody can catch fish, right? You know, and this is the way fishermen get. They get so sure about a certain way that something's supposed to be that they get sort of set in their ways. I remember a brother in the Lord and I were fishing, and we had been fishing, it was dead of winter, and we'd fished like several days or in a row in this one place and caught fish on a particular tide. The place is famous for the tide going the other direction, but we caught them on the incoming, not the outgoing. Three nights. The first night then we hung around for the outgoing tide thinking, wow, it's going to be really good when it turns, because this place is famous for this tide. Not so. So we put in some hour or more effort into that tide and nothing happened. The second night, same thing. We caught them all on the incoming tide. When the tide turned around and dropped, we didn't spend very much time on it. The next night, it came, the incoming, same thing, full of fish. The next night, we didn't even waste any time. When the tide stopped, we left. On the way out, we encountered other fishermen coming in. And they said, "Did you get anything?" And we said, "Yes, we've got them every single night on the incoming tide. At the outgoing, though, it dies and there's no fish." "Oh, no, no, no," the fisherman said, for sure of himself. "Not so, but this place is great on the dropping tide. It's famous for being good on the dropping tide." And we said, happy, full of fish, cold now, hungry, "Fine, have fun. See you later," but we gave them the information that they needed, right? So they went out there and fished all night and didn't get one touch, not one drop of action fishing. And this is like that, except that God knows even more about where fish are, where they're hiding, what they're up to, than we do. Now, if Jesus wanted to, he could just stand at the shore and go, "Fish, fish, fish, fish," and they would all come crashing ashore and obey his word, jump on the fire, clean themselves, and get ready to be eaten. And that's the way it works with him. So he tells Peter, you know, "Let's go out, take the boat out." Now what, it's almost lunchtime maybe? I mean, I'm sure Jesus preached longer than I do, so it's like lunchtime probably, nearing lunchtime, and Peter thinks it's foolish, but he's going to humor the rabbi. Something new has transpired. This Jesus, this sort of famous preacher guy, landed on his boat, Any figures, fine. We'll go out. But we toiled, worked all night. Again. For no fish. But if you say so, we'll go out there. What can it hurt, right? So, when he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. And the net break, or was overloaded, was breaking. You know, when it's so full, you can't haul it without tearing it to pieces. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and began to filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, I believe this is Peter and Andrew, and also James and John, who were all partners together in like a little fishing thing. That's why he beckoned their friends to come out. And now it's enough fish to sink both the ships in the middle of the day. And there can't possibly be any. After they've tried all night, again, without being able to catch them. Now, I'd like to back up a few verses and take a look at something. And that is, Jesus teaches them out of the ship. And then when it's all over, the crowds disperse, you know, he says goodbye, you know, whatever, and then the crowds thin out and that's it. Now, that is normally where the modern Christian church service ends. Okay? That's normally where the modern Christian church service ends. The word is preached, we mingle around, we talk about it a little, the crowds disperse, and that's it. But that's not how it is in the kingdom of God. That's just how it is in the kingdom of us. In the kingdom of God now, Jesus is far from done. We're going to go fishing now. And he goes out, and when they see this, Simon Peter sees this. And he knows from his whole lifetime experience, coming up, probably fishing with his dad, then fishing his whole life, that this is an impossible thing. This is a supernatural thing that has transpired. See, the message was nice. I mean, interesting, intellectually stimulating. It was the Word of God preached by the Word of God. It does not get more intense a message than that. And I've heard some pretty intense messages that make you want to run out of the room maybe sometimes. But that's not what had the effect. You understand? Something else transpires here, something that Jesus staged up, some personal affirmation in Peter's life that makes the difference. Something transpires here that Peter recognizes that this is God in the flesh. And what his reaction is, he falls down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." From henceforth thou shalt catch men. So he gives him a promising, fruitful future, a purpose in Christ. It's not about fish. See, what's happening in our world is we are trying to add Jesus to our fishing company to get him to bring us more fish in the net so that we can do and accomplish and achieve things with our wealth, with our money. Right? So we're trying to insert a step into Jesus' plan for our lives that is sidetracking us off the path that he's putting us on. He's giving them a purpose. He says to Peter, "From henceforth you'll catch men." He doesn't say, "From now on we are going to rock it in this fishing company. We're going to do this ethically and honestly. We're going to fish only during the day. the whole company gets off on Sunday and goes to church and all the major religious holidays. Nobody's going to work. You're going to pay them to stay. You know, they're going to go to synagogue, but we're going to stay. You're going to pay them to go to the synagogue and take the days off. And God is going to fill the gaps in your business and give you tons of money for kingdom purposes. And then for those, that money we'll use to feed orphans and so forth and so on. Now, when it comes time to feed the thousands on the hillside again after he's taught the people, instead of just saying, okay, great message, see you later, everybody go find their way into the cities and get themselves lunch, he does something else. He feeds them. Now, don't you think that this ability to call the fish into the nets, it would come in handy to feed the people, but he doesn't do that. He does challenge them by saying, feed ye them. Like, in other words, this is your responsibility to feed them. And they are like, how are we going to do that? Right? Even the disciple that answers him said, so many pennies worth is not enough that all these people should just get a bite. So he acknowledges the fact that it's something like a year's income or something which would, it would be required to feed this crowd. You understand? It's the financial comparison between the miraculous, right, and how much money it would take to provide the same result if you could even get it to happen. But Jesus doesn't bother. He doesn't tell them, all right, grab the boats, grab the net. We're going to do that trick with the fish thing, throw it on the right side of the boat. You know, and that's going to be it, right? We're going to get these fish and drag it ashore and feed everybody this way. He doesn't resort to the natural means. I mean, this is the God that brought manna in the desert. He doesn't need you to fish. He doesn't need you to bake bread. He doesn't need you to provide money. He doesn't need your money. I mean, seriously. I mean, we like to do things like that. And there is a practical aspect to the gospel. But this is not God.